So hello everyone, welcome our next speaker in Security Dev Room, Lorenzo Fontana, and his talk about Falco Internals 101.
Hey, I feel a lot of pressure just because, I mean, it's Saturday and it's lunchtime, so you're all here to listen to this, so it's a very, very high pressure situation. So we're going to talk about the Falco project and how we have been able to put syscalls to user space, bring syscalls to user space in a very fast way with very low throughput. The thing is that I didn't really want to talk about the Falco project, which is the CNCF project I work on, but while doing it, I actually discovered that we have been making something very interesting for everyone to listen to, so I actually wanted to tell everyone. If you already knew me, it would be probably because of my book, Linux Observability with BPF, and maybe because you're involved in the Kubernetes space or cloud native space in some way, and also because I've been engaged at FOSDEM for the past 5 years, probably. First things first, I want to give you some context to let you understand. Falco is a project that basically takes every syscall that happens. Why no one is laughing at that? I mean, every syscall is brought to user space, and with those syscalls, Falco processes a set of rules that then gives you alerts based on what happened in the system. It has been started 4 years ago, and 2 years ago it had been donated to the CNCF so that everyone could contribute and make it better. It's written in C++, which already makes it crazy enough. But we wanted to add syscalls. Syscalls are a very interesting mechanism. It's an API to the kernel. It abstracts the hardware to you so that you can just do things without actually destroying this machine, and you can interact with the kernel. If you think about syscalls, whenever you open a file, a syscall is done. Whenever you establish a connection, a syscall is done. Whenever you do anything, a syscall is done. Even if you use a very high-level language, at some point, a syscall is done. And the syscall interface might be abstracted by libraries like glibc, these things. Syscalls are very scary. Whatever library that deals with syscall will have to actually map every single syscall to deal with that. And this already makes... This already creates a very high bar for any security implication. Because if you have a kernel and you have syscalls, the next kernel version will have, you know, maybe a new syscall, maybe a new parameter, maybe a syscall changed version, these kind of things. If I keep saying the words with ed suffix like changed, it's because I'm Italian and I do that and I cannot deal with that, so sorry. Syscalls are very powerful, are very good for kernel space, but are not very, very good for user space. To bring every syscall to user space, guess what you have to do? A syscall. So it's already, you know, a very hard problem. It's like the kitchen and the egg. And if you don't believe me that the problem is hard, try to have a system with, you know, a throughput of 5 million of syscall at a second. It's crazy. You have 5 million of syscalls, and another 5 million of syscalls to actually deal with the syscalls, so and so on. And it's not 1998 anymore. I mean, it was like five, but the kernel was very, very simple back then. Things like multithreading and stuff. And you really need to know that when you want to deal with syscalls and when you do a security tool in general, you also have to deal with time. And guess what you need to deal with time? A syscall. Nice. Or you can deal with things like, you know, registers, like you can go get the time from the processor, but processors are not abstracted. So you have to deal with time for every single architecture you want to support. And it's another maze, like this place. And also, if that wasn't enough, syscalls are not enough. Because you get a syscall that tells you, hey, someone opened this file with these permissions. Thank you. But we are in a different world that 10 years ago is like 1998 is nothing more than years ago. We're in a different world than 20 years ago. And you don't have just a system that runs Apache with some PHP. You might have containers, so you have a very complex infrastructure, and you want to know in which container this is collecting, in which network namespace, if the network namespace was with a mount namespace, or if the attacker actually, you know, did something nasty, maybe they changed the C group of the network namespace, these kind of things. So having container information is also useful. And for container information, you have to deal with systems that are very slow, because you are going to take the container information from the Docker daemon or from Containerd or something, like with their API. And those are APIs designed to go at, you know, with a latency of 100 milliseconds. But syscalls are very fast, 5 millions a second. And you want to correlate every syscall to... It's crazy. To every... I mean, we didn't solve this problem yet in a very good way. So how to do that? We've been asking ourselves this question. There's a third answer that we didn't develop yet, but it's secret. And basically two ways. So you just implement your own kernel module. Like, you know, it's like when you install VirtualBox in your Linux machine and then you need to, you know, you need to restart. Nice. Or when you upgrade your kernel, when you install some modules, imagine having your company with 100 servers, fuck updates, restarts the machines. And that wasn't very handy. So we also implemented an eBPF probe, which everyone knows what is it, because my talk is not on eBPF, and I didn't want to explain. Do you know eBPF? Okay, great. Like 20%, so I will explain very fast. So with a kernel module, you can just go in the kernel, implement your code, and you know it will do whatever you want. Pros, you implement whatever you want, it's very efficient. Cons, it will kernel panic your machine, and then as soon as you do a mistake, your servers are all down, and you don't have a way to reboot them, and you know it's very hard. With an eBPF probe, the mechanism is a bit more sophisticated. You can't implement whatever you want because there are some limitations, but you can still go to the kernel and ask for information in a very efficient way. So how does this look like? I initially wanted to do this presentation in the terminal, then turns out that I had to do diagrams. So my diagrams are not very good, but I mean, gives an idea. So you have the kernel space and user space separated. You have the kernel module on the lower bound, and you have Falk on the upper bound. And in the middle, there are a set of libraries and tools that, you know, allow you to process the syscall in a very efficient way. Let's start from the bottom. The kernel module is the first implementation. It's still there and still works with Falco. And it basically goes to the kernel and attached to every syscall that gets executed when it starts executing and when it exits the execution. Like imagine putting a jump at the start of every function and a jump at the end of every function that executes the syscalls. That's it. When this code executes, it sends it to a ring buffer, which we're going to be talking later, that then is consumed in user space for a file descriptor, you know, like a device, like the device of your printer, because this is a kernel module. And then this is consumed by another library that enriches all this stuff with container metadata and stuff, which is called libsyns. We will talk about this more in details later. And then Falco can, you know, match rules. So, this is crazy. First things, a ring buffer. A ring buffer is a data structure that is basically, imagine a linked list, but that links to itself. This is to avoid that you have to, what's happening with the microphone? This is to avoid that you have to actually shuffle back the buffer to the point, to the starting point of the execution, so that you can continue putting elements and, you know, the last element was overwritten, like first in, first out queue. And in Falco, we decided the perfect size would have been 8 megabytes for it, because it fits well in most of registers. It's very handy to use, both from kernel space and both from user space. Most users that have very strange use case, they adjust this, but it's a compile time thing. I personally never had a problem. The kernel takes the events and it mem copy the event to the next pointer in the ring buffer. That's why this is fast. So the memory is never ever copied. It's just copying the pointer of the memory. Sorry, I told the wrong thing and I contradicted myself. The memory of the pointer is copied to the ring buffer so that you have access to that memory. And at that point, you can load this data from user space by reading the dev falco 0 files. This is basically how the structs looks in its header file, and this header file is shared between the user space and kernel space. So you basically, what you're interested in, it's in the head and the tail, and then there's some metadata for you to understand if your ring buffer is performing well. I'm showing this because, we are all used to very high-level code. I mean, object-oriented programming, all that stuff.